from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo discusses trade and digital economy with Xi Jinping. APEC leaders are expected to help impact of climate change. And now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo met with President of the People's Republic of China, PRC, Xi Jinping, and discussed trade to the digital economy in a bilateral meeting held on the sidelines of the APEC summit. The Deputy of Protocol, Press and Media of the Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, in a statement received in Jakarta on Saturday, said that the meeting was held at the Stanley Hotel, Port Moresby, Saturday evening. Starting the meeting, the President congratulated President Xi Jinping for the success of the PRC in holding an international export exhibition in Shanghai, which took place recently. In addition, President Joko Widodo also appreciated the PRC for expressing sympathy and cooperation given in handling natural disasters in Lombok and Central Sulawesi. The two heads of state then discussed several matters related to the relations between the two countries. In the trade sector, the president hopes that the two countries can work together to overcome the Indonesia-China trade deficit through various means. These methods include the ease of export of tropical fruit from Indonesia to China, such as fresh pineapple, dragon fruit, avocado, rambutan, mango, banana, and durian. The president also hopes for the sustainability of palm oil exports and derivative products, including cooperation in developing biodiesel such as B5, B20 biofuels, and replanting oil palm. In addition, President Jokowi wants China to not apply a quota or anti-dumping for Indonesian manufactured products such as steel. The leaders of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC are expected to help countries in the Pacific Islands in facing the effects of climate change and deal with marine issues. The topic was discussed by APEC leaders and leaders of the Pacific Islands countries at the APEC summit in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea on Saturday, November 17. As reported by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Saturday, Minister Retno Marsudi said that the meeting was also discussed about efforts to develop cooperation related to connectivity because it would facilitate access of Pacific countries to reach the world. According to the minister, countries in the South Pacific do not have good connectivity access. Therefore, Indonesia included the South Pacific as one of the priorities of Indonesia's foreign policy. The meeting is the Papua New Guinea's initiative as the host of the APEC summit, which is very appreciated by Indonesia. UNICEF voiced concern on Friday over reports of forcible repatriation of Rohingya Muslims in Bangladesh to Myanmar. Christoph Bolirak, UNICEF's spokesperson, told a press briefing in Geneva. Bolirak said that his colleagues working in one of refugee camps in Bangladesh Chowk's Bazar witnessed a large protest by Rohingya against the plans for repatriation. He noted an overwhelming majority of the refugees were reluctant to be repatriated unless their safety was ensured, according to unofficial polls conducted in the camps by UNICEF. He also called on the international community to continue working with Bangladesh and Myanmar governments to support Rohingya children and families. UN Human Rights Chief Michelle Bachelet on Tuesday urged the Bangladesh government to halt plans for the repatriation, saying it would put the lives of refugees at stake and violate international law. On Thursday, the Bangladeshi government halted the first scheduled Rohingya repatriation to Myanmar following protests by over 700,000 refugees. MD Abdul Kalam, Commissioner of the Bangladesh Refugee Relief and Repatriation Commission, told Anadolu Agency that all repatriation were complete from their side, but the Rohingya were not willing to return to their home country. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. State-owned mining holding company PT Inalum said it has succeeded in raising enough fund to acquire a majority 51% stake in PT Freeport Indonesia, ending years of brain-racking negotiations over control of one of the world's largest copper and gold mines in Papua. Indonesia's state-owned miner Inalum hopes to wrap up the financial closure of a $3.85 transaction for majority control of the local unit of U.S. mining giant Freeport McMoRan Incorporation. The Indonesian government and Freeport have reached an agreement that Inalum will control a 51.23% stake in PT Freeport Indonesia, ending more than 9 years of negotiations over control of Grasberg, the world's second largest, biggest copper mine in Papua. The Sales and Purchase Agreement, SPA, was signed in September 2018 by Inalum CEO Budi Gunadi. Freeport McMoRan Incorporation, CEO Richard Atkerson and Rio Tinto Indonesia. Three ministers who witnessed the SPA signing were Energy and Mineral Resources ESDM Minister Ignatius Jonan, State-Owned Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno, and Finance Minister Sri Mulyani. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi will make Banyuasin District a role model for river transportation. This is because the Musi Banyuasin Development District has many rivers, the minister said in Banyuasin on Saturday. Therefore, the minister stated the Ministry of Transportation will make the district a role model for one of the regions that are productive through river transportation, starting from the port to the ship. He noted that the district has the potential for river transportation so that it could become an example of a model for water transportation in Indonesia. Regarding the special fire zone of Tanjung Api Api, he had indeed asked the governor of South Sumatra to review it because he wants Banyuasin to progress with the presence of ports and zone. Meanwhile, South Sumatra Governor Herman Deru added that the progress in development was due to the special attention by the Minister of Transportation, who has contributed a lot to South Sumatra province, such as the construction of goods ports and ferry ports. The governor remarked that the port which has been built by the Ministry of Transportation at Tanjung Api Api will soon be operational. The Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture releases exports of 11,380 metric tons of dried grated coconut and other coconut products from Manado, North Sulawesi, to various countries. The Director General of Plantation at the Ministry of Agriculture, Bambang, through a written statement in Jakarta on Saturday, November 17, said that the exported coconut products included dried grated coconut, pure coconut oil and derivatives, round coconut and coconut water. Some of the destined countries are Papua New Guinea, the Philippines, China, the United States, the Netherlands, Vietnam, Singapore, South Korea, Japan, Germany, South Africa, Russia, Turkey, Poland, Kuwait, Uruguay, Malaysia and Slovakia. According to Bambang, the export is an effort to sustainably support the development of coconut. He said 93% of the coconuts come from smallholder plantations. And the last item, Riau Natural Resources Conservation Office personnel evacuated a Sumatran tiger trapped in the Pulau Burung Market area in Indragiri Hilir, Riau Province, to the Dharmasraya Sumatran Tiger Rehabilitation Center in West Sumatra Province. Suharyono, head of the Riau Conservation Office, stated in Pekanbaru Riau Saturday that they will observe the tiger in cooperation with the Arsari Foundation of the Dharmasraya Rehabilitation Center. He explained Riau has no tiger rehabilitation center, so the animal was moved to the neighboring province. The 3-year-old male tiger was found trapped and in a wounded state in the Pulau Burung Market area on November 14, 2018. After being rehabilitated, the tiger will be released into the wild. Bonita, a 4-year-old tigress who had killed 3 residents in Indragiri Hilir, is also being kept in the West Sumatra Rehabilitation Center. The Sumatran tiger, or Panthera tigris sumatrae, an endemic animal of Sumatra, is protected by law, as the animal is on the brink of extinction. Its population is estimated as some 400 in the wild, and 1/3 of them are in Riau Province, Sumatra Island. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. President Joko Widodo discusses trade and digital economy with Xi Jinping. APEC leaders are expected to help impact of climate change. And listeners, that's the news.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with the daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on Southeast Asia's fastest man establishes a running school. Seeing many mistakes made by young Indonesian athletes while in athletics training, especially in running, Southeast Asia's fastest man, Suryo Agung Wibowo, finally started a running school. The man, who is now a functional civil servant, founded Suryo Agung Running School, said the idea of establishing the school came out in 2016. Suryo Agung Wibowo told the National Radio News Agency in Jakarta on Tuesday, the idea of establishing a special school was based on experience at the national team level when he became a strength and conditioning coach for national athletes. After retiring from the running world in 2013, Suryo continued his career as a coach. The man, who was once a footballer, has got a license as a national physical trainer and the Australian Level 1 Strength and Conditioning Association certificate. Initially became a physical coach for the national beach volleyball team, he then became a physical trainer for the cycling team. During his time as a physical trainer, Suryo and his colleagues at the Indonesian Emas Prima program, which is a government-formed program to accelerate sports achievements, were restless with the basic athletics abilities and lifestyle of athletes who had just entered the running training. The name Suryo Agung Wibowo is indeed a legend in the history of athletics in the country, even Southeast Asia. Until now, Suryo is still listed as the holder of the 100-meter run record with 10.17 seconds made at the 2009 SEA Games in Laos. The man, who was born in Surakarta on October 8, 1983, is also still the national record holder for the 200-meter run with a record of 20.76 seconds. Currently, Suryo prioritizes the development of athletes. This is a form of repayment, he said, giving knowledge to the athletes in the form of a special school. Suryo Agung Running School, or SARS, was handled by 5 trainers, including Suryo Agung Wibowo himself. The school provides regular and private classes with different fees. By paying the registration fee, participants will get a lifetime membership, only forfeited if they are missing without news for 3 months. In each exercise, Suryo Agung Running School SARS give correct athletic abilities or the basic movement for young children. They introduce the correct movement about standing up, jumping in accordance with the coordination of motion. Well, that was My Indonesia Today on Southeast Asia Fastest Man Establishes a Running School. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Music.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with November the 18th, 1918, Latvian independence. Latvia is a unitary state in the form of a republic with a parliamentary style of government. It is divided into 118 regions. The Republic of Latvia was established on November 18, 1918. Latvia was occupied and controlled by the Soviet Union in the period of 1940-1941 and 1945-1991. By Nazi Germany in the period of 1941 and until 1945. The peaceful singing revolution in the period of 1987 until 1991 and the demonstration of the Baltic Road on August 23, 1989 widened the opportunities for independence for the Baltic countries. Latvia declared the recovery of de facto independence on August 21, 1991. Turning to November 18, 1993, in South Africa, 21 political parties approved a new constitution. South Africa is known to the world as a country that has a phenomenal history in the process of democratization. Amid the flames of Mandela's patriotism, South Africa managed to end the apartheid regime which gripped the country from 1979 to 1991. On November 18, 1993, 21 political parties in South Africa agreed to a new constitution that was considered democratic for South Africa called the Provisional Constitution, with more permanent constitution to be formed later. The Provisional Constitution turned parliament into a two-room or bicameral system consisting of the National Assembly and the National Council of Parliament or Senate. The Provisional Constitution also includes a Bill of Rights, the conversion of the tricameral system into bicameral system, and the inclusion of the Bill of Rights is considered to be the foundation for a new democratic life in South Africa. I'll conclude with November the 18th, 2004, Russia signs the Kyoto Protocol. The Kyoto Protocol, or the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, is a legal agreement in which industrial countries will collectively reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by 5.2% compared to 1990. The goal is to reduce emissions from 6 greenhouse gases. Countries that ratify this protocol are committed to reducing greenhouse gas emissions or working together in reducing the emissions. The Kyoto Protocol was agreed in Kyoto in December 1997, opened for signature on March 16, 1998. The Kyoto Protocol entered into force on February 16, 2005, after official ratification by Russia on November 18, 2004. That was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Spotlight of the Week, which today is on ASEAN praises the progress of the South China Sea peace efforts. Leaders of Southeast Asian countries and China praised the progress of efforts to bring peace to the South China Sea dispute. These efforts include the time frame for completing the code of conduct. According to them, this progress shows that ASEAN can solve its own problems. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that the target of completing the preparation of codes of conduct in the South China Sea was again confirmed by Chinese Prime Minister Li Keqiang at the ASEAN-China Summit in Singapore on Wednesday. It was also confirmed that the first reading of the single draft document after being agreed upon would be completed next year. The code of conduct will be carried out simultaneously with a target of 3 years. Director General of ASEAN Cooperation, Jose Tavares, stated that the three-year target was calculated starting this year. He said that the target time would be utilized by both in terms of momentum and time. Regarding the comments in the process towards to the code of conduct, there will be a total of 3 single negotiating text readings and will be used for negotiations. Meanwhile, Li Keqiang, who was present at the ASEAN summit, said that the code of conduct that to be created is a good example of the region's ability to resolve its own disputes. China, for the first time, stated its commitment to make a code of conduct guidelines no later than 3 years. Li Keqiang added that the situation had moved forward with better stability and progress towards a single draft in the code of conduct in the sea. The South China Sea dispute involving a number of countries is a latent problem that has not been resolved. China is one of the parties in the last few years have built small islands around the South China Sea. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte, whose country is a party to the dispute, said there were no problems with China. Everything is going very well between China and ASEAN countries. According to Duterte, a clear rule would be to avoid miscalculations and risk of disruption or potential clashes that could trigger military action based on joint defense agreements. Well, that was Spotlights of the Week over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo met with President of the People's Republic of China Xi Jinping and discussed trade to the digital economy in the bilateral meeting held on the sidelines of the APEC summit. The leaders of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC are expected to help countries in the Pacific Islands in facing the effects of climate change and deal with marine issues. UNICEF voiced concern on Friday over reports of forcible repatriation of Rohingya Muslims in Bangladesh to Myanmar. State-owned mining holding company PT Inalum said it has succeeded in raising enough funds to acquire a majority 51% stake in PT Freeport Indonesia, ending years of brain-racking negotiations over control of one of the world's largest copper and gold mines in Papua. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi will make Banyuasin District a role model for river transportation. This is because the Musi Banyuasin Development District has many rivers, the minister said in Banyuasin on Saturday. The Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture releases exports of 11,380 metric tons of dried grated coconut and other coconut products from Manado, North Sulawesi to various countries. Riau Natural Resources Conservation Office personnel evacuated a Sumatran tiger trapped in the Pulau Burung Market area in Indragiri Hilir, Riau Province, to the Darmas Raya Sumatran Tiger Rehabilitation Center in West Sumatra Province. And listener, that's News in Brief.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program featuring Indonesian tourism. Today, I will invite you to travel to East Sumba to enjoy the beauty of Walakiri Beach. So, tune in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on 3325 kHz live streaming at www.voinews.id or through the RRI Play application. Walakiri is one of the beaches with the characteristics of beach on Sumba Island, which is calm, gentle, and with a stretch of white sand. The location of Walakiri Beach is not far from the center of Waingapu City, approximately 24 kilometers, and can be reached in around 30 minutes. Precisely in Watu Mbaka Village, Pandawai District, is Sumba Regency. is Nusa Tenggara. Access to Walakiri is very easy because it is not far from the main road to Melolo, a large sub-district in East Sumba. But because of the still difficult public transportation in the city, visitors are advisable to rent a motorbike or car from Waingapu to go to Walakiri. Although this tourist attraction is near residential areas and is quite crowded with domestic and foreign tourists, there is no fee to enter it. Walakiri Beach is increasingly crowded with tourists after Mila Lesmana, the famous Indonesian film director, produced the film Pendekar Tongkat Emas, which is popularized Walakiri Beach through an Instagram account. Walakiri Beach has white sand with mangrove and coconut trees that provide shade and a comfortable atmosphere when visitors walk along the beach. Of Walakiri Beach is that there are two different types of sand texture between the sand on the beach, like beach sand in general. The sand is just the same, namely ivory-colored granules, while the sand in the receding area of the sea has a texture like powder or wet cement, which then dries and hardens. Interestingly, there is a clear boundary between the two types of sand. Walakiri Beach is indeed the right place to watch the amazing sunset. Another uniqueness is the pygmy mangrove trees at the edge of the beach. During the tide water at the glance, there is nothing to make this Walakiri Beach special. But once the water recedes, the silhouettes of the mangrove trees is twisting like dancing. And this makes Walakiri Beach a unique phenomenon. Especially when the sun sets, the combination of the color of the twilight sky and the mangrove silhouette looks truly aesthetic. Therefore, don't forget to prepare a camera to capture the moment. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Walakiri Beach. If you visit Sumba, especially its Sumba Regency, take time to come to Walakiri Beach and don't forget to prepare your best camera. Because beautiful memories will make life more meaningful. And tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Bye now!
Thank you for still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. This edition presents the topic of maintaining batik quality with SNI. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on 3325 kHz, live streaming at www.voinews.id or through the RRI Play application. Batik is one of Indonesian wealth of art and culture that has been recognized by the UN Education, Scientific and Culture Organization or UNESCO. Batik itself is a motif art by scratching wax on a cloth using media called canting. Since being recognized by UNESCO, batik has continued to grow and is increasingly being used by the community, not only in Indonesia but in the world as well. In terms of the manufacturing process, it is not only limited to hand-painted batik, but also stamped or printed batik and machine product called printing batik. the type of fabric used and the combination is increasingly diverse. The Center for Crafts and Batik encourages small and medium-scale industry players who produce batik to follow the Indonesian National Standard or SNI for batik so that the product could have competitiveness. Head of Certification and Calibration of the Center for Batik Crafts in Yogyakarta, Retno Widyastuti, said that it was important for batik artisans and business people to get certification of the Indonesian National Standard. It aims to provide protection against the authenticity of batik in various regions in Indonesia. Batik products also require a standard because there are many artificial or even fake batik. Retno said that her office serves certification for parties who want to get the Indonesian National Standard certification. There is also a need to select products sold in Yogyakarta to keep batik as a world heritage. Artificial or fake batik is made of cloth that is affixed, printed, and already colorful. According to Retno, certification also aims to encourage the realization of quality products according to standards. Every single small and medium industry can have more than one certificate, for example, one of their handmade batik stamped and combination. The Center for Crafts and Batik also issued a batik mark for small and medium industry that fulfills the requirements in the form of labels pinned on products to guarantee quality. The batik mark certificate is valid for 3 years and the industry will be re-evaluated to guarantee the product. By following and fulfilling the Indonesian National Standard, it is expected that batik as one of the wealth of Indonesian nation will be guaranteed its quality and authenticity. That was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Until then, bye.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia. Hello, listeners. Wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. We would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Sami Masad in Egypt. In his email, Mr. Sami Masad expressed his condolences on Palu, Donggala, and Sigi, which were stricken by earthquake, and he prayed God saves Indonesia and the Indonesian people. Hello, Mr. Sami Masa. Thank you very much for your attention on our country, which is affected by disasters. It is because Indonesia is located on the Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire is a major area in the basin of the Pacific Ocean, where many earthquakes and volcanic eruptions occur. Hopefully, all disasters will go away from the regions which are affected by the disasters, and those regions are back to be normal like usual. As information, you can follow our current news about our country through our website www.voynews.id. Well, Mr. Sami Masad, please keep listening to our broadcast and please don't forget to send your report.
Tiada berbeda apa yang ku rasakan. Tajam menusuk tak beralasan. Kita sudah dingin hati.
Dulu kita pernah saling memahami. Segan merasa telah menyakiti. Kita terlalu perasa. Setiap katamu cerminan hatimu. Jadikan berarti. Jangan sia-siakan waktu untuk membenci.
Now we will reply an email from Akira Takei in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program through shortwave on frequency of 3325 kHz at 21:25 hours to 21:45 hours local time on October 7, 2018. And the SINPO was 33333 to 32332. He wrote that there was intensely interference from Pyongyang Broadcasting. He also complained due to interference and noise, he could not hear accurately the broadcast contents. Hello, Mr. Akira Takei. Thank you very much for your reception report on our broadcast. We are really sorry for your inconvenience, and we suggest you to monitor our broadcast through website www.voanews.id or through RRI Play mobile application from your smartphone. About your complaint, we will deliver it to our technical division, and your email will be replied by our Japanese section as well. Mr. Akira, please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. And special for you, we will play a beautiful song.
Tersiarkan kisah lelaki tangguh bagai satria, namun saat ia tertatih takluk oleh dunia. Cerminan sisi terbaikmu, lindungi hatinya sekalipun di dalam amarah. Tajam rasa racun dunia, yeah. Ia punya penawarnya, kekuatannya, kekuatannya. Bisakah
you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we will continue to reply an email from Peter Goldfinch in Australia. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through frequency of 3325 kHz on Sunday, the 14th of October 2018, from 1340 hours to 1400 hours UTC. In his email, Mr. Peter Goldfinch said that he hopes to be able to tune in our full hour broadcast in the near future and learn about the customs and culture of the people of Indonesia. He must also let us know that he found our website excellent and easy to navigate. He also said that he enjoyed listening to our listeners' mailbag program. Hello, Mr. Peter Goldfinch. Thank you for joining our broadcast, and we hope you can monitor our broadcast every day. If you want to learn about Indonesian customs and cultures, you can follow our segment Indonesian Wonder. This segment is broadcast every day, telling about Indonesian cultures, culinary, customs, and arts. So we'll be able to know more about our country through this segment. Our radio also presents Indonesian popular songs, keroncong songs, traditional songs, and also regional songs. And hopefully by listening to our radio, you work more passionately. Therefore, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Well, Mr. Peter Goldfinch, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your reception report. Thank you.
Segera berlari, tak perlu.
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from Hidehiko Komachi in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through shortwave on frequency of 3325 kilohertz at 1310 hours to 1330 hours UTC on October 12, 2018. And the SINPO was 33333. In his email, Mr. Hidehiko Komachi said that he was very happy to have a chance to receive our broadcast today. He will try to hear our radio as soon as he can. Hello, Mr. Hidehiko Komachi. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. Your SINPO is quite good. It means that you can hear our broadcast clearly. Besides English, we also broadcast in other languages, including Japanese. And we hope you always monitor our broadcast every day. And please don't forget to send your reception report of our broadcast. Listener, wherever you are, we inform you that we have a new program on RRE Net. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 2000 hours to 2030 hours West Indonesia time, or 1300 hours to 1330 hours UTC. This program enables you not only listen, but also watch our program just like watching TV. And this is how to access VOI English News Service via RRE Play. First, download RRE Play mobile application from Google Play, and then open RRE Play application, then choose RRE Net. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id, voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Got nowhere to be, nowhere that I cintaku. Dan saat ini engkau selalu ingin bertemu dan mengulang jalin cinta. Mau dikatakan apa lagi, kita tak akan pernah satu. Engkau di sana, aku di sini, meski hatiku memilihmu.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.